You're listening to the Resilient Fertility Podcast, a space where we explore the intersection of food and culture on the journey to motherhood. I'm Anissa Woodall, a holistic certified nutritionist and mother of two adventurous boys. Join me as I guide you on how to reconnect with your innate wisdom, develop a growth mindset, and harness the power of food and habit to embody the mother your child needs you to be. Whether you're planning to become a mother, trying to conceive, or are already a mother, you'll find valuable insights and practical tips to enhance your fertility and optimize your pregnancy. Tune in every other week for thoughtful and informative conversations about the power in your hands on your journey to motherhood. Welcome to today's episode of the Resilient Fertility Podcast. I am really excited to share with you a segment of my recent Resilience from Estrogen Dominance workshop with you today. And this is on a topic that is very popular in the spring season. A lot of times you are being exposed to allergens that are raising your histamine levels and maybe haven't drawn this connection yet, but you may notice that your periods may be a little bit more intense during the spring. Maybe you're getting some more period pain. And a lot of people maybe aren't aware of this, but I wanted to share about this with you today, is that there is a connection between your histamine levels and your period symptoms. And today I wanted to draw that connection for you and share with you a little bit about how those two things are connected, and also some of the things that you can do to mitigate some of those symptoms and to get to the root cause. So a lot of times my clients have reached out to me saying, I need your help with a low histamine diet. And I just wanted to share that I am very capable of helping you or my clients with a low histamine diet, but I am equally interested in helping you get to the root cause of why you have histamine intolerance. And so here in this segment from this workshop, I share a few of the things that can be contributing to excess histamine and why it can be a problem for your fertility and your hormones. So I hope you enjoy this segment of this workshop. Again, it's from my Resilience from Estrogen Dominance workshop. And if you like what you hear and you want to know how to support your body to overcome estrogen dominance, then listen for some resources at the end and where you can find the rest of this workshop. All right. I hope you enjoy.
So looking at the estrogen trap, first we have inadequate, well, it's hard to know which one exactly starts first, right? It's kind of like a chicken or the egg situation here. We have inadequate antioxidants or detox nutrients backing up the liver. We may also have some backed up elimination pathways. If you can imagine your digestive system like a sewer and you're having to eliminate waste, if you imagine a clog in that sewer, that can definitely create some problems, having a clog in that sewer. Now, your digestive system is only one of your elimination pathways. You also have your sweat and your urine, for example. So we want to be making sure that we're supporting all of those systems. I'll be talking about those in a little bit as well. Poor gut health is one of those, but it can also have implications on the microbiome as well and how you are potentially reabsorbing some estrogen. Let's start with estrogen and connecting it to some of the ways that it impacts overall, how it kind of has this vicious cycle where you have estrogen, which stimulates your mast cells to release something called histamine, right? This is like an inflammatory molecule. And it actually downregulates the enzyme that breaks down histamine. This enzyme is called DAO or diamine oxidase. And this is the enzyme that clears histamine. Most of it works in the gut. And at the same time, histamine stimulates the ovaries to make more estrogen. And so that net result can then be really that vicious cycle where you're having estrogen make more histamine, and then that histamine stimulates your ovaries to make more estrogen. So it's, well, where do you interfere in this process here? So when we're looking at this cycle of histamine, we can look at some of the causes of excess histamine, right? So estrogen, excess estrogen being one of those, and we'll be talking about how to support your liver to release and metabolize effectively that excess estrogen. But then what are some of those other things that are contributing to histamine making more estrogen, right? So having poor diamine oxidase action in the gut. This can be related to dysbiosis or imbalances in gut bacteria. It can also be related to intestinal cell atrophy. What that means is that like the finger-like molecules along the lining of your gut are kind of blunted because of inflammation in the gut. The DAO is a brush border enzyme, meaning that it exists on those fingers, the villi of your gut. And when those fingers are blunted, you're not going to be able to produce DAO as effectively. So here, addressing the cause would be optimizing your microbial balance in your gut and supporting your gut lining to be able to heal and replenish effectively. I'll talk more about that. So some other things that can contribute to excess histamine will also be things like stress, nutrient deficiencies, histamine triggering foods, and alcohol. And so when you have an excess of histamine, that, or when you have all of these things, that can then result in an excess of histamine and or inflammation and an overstimulated immune system. These things can then trigger directly a lot of those symptoms of excess estrogen, right? Period pain, heavy bleeding, endometriosis, anxiety, insomnia, poor endometrial receptivity, and too much cervical mucus. So I just want to touch on that endometrial receptivity, because this is one of the areas that sometimes people don't fully understand why having too much estrogen can impact your chances of conceiving. And this is where it acts. So when you have an excess of estrogen, what it does is it, well, let's just say a normal action of estrogen is to help proliferate after you've had your period, right? You've shed the endometrial lining. Estrogen's job is to help to proliferate and grow a healthy endometrial lining, right? That's what a normal amount of estrogen does. However, if you have too much estrogen, it can overproliferate that tissue, making it too thick and dense and not really able to hold a fertilized egg. And I always like to make analogies to nature, and right now is kind of the season of starting to sow some seeds. And so if you imagine that you're sowing some seeds in your garden or in some seed starts or whatever, or some starting pods, blanking on what they're called, but the type of soil that you have there is going to be very important for whether or not your seed is actually going to be able to make a start, right? If it's actually going to be able to sprout and take root and really be able to anchor those roots into the soil. You can imagine it like you have a bunch of mulch that you're trying to grow your seeds in, and that mulch is just, it's too thick, it's too dense. Your seed's not really going to be able to put roots down. It needs something a little softer, a little bit easier for the water and nutrients to be able to circulate through. And that's the exact same situation that we're looking at when it comes to your endometrial lining. We want to see good blood flow throughout the endometrial tissue so that water and nutrients and oxygen can be able to supply and nourish that tissue so that you can then maintain a pregnancy. And then just one note on the too much cervical mucus. When it comes to having excess histamine, you may notice that you feel very mucusy, right? If you have allergies or congestion, that's all very mucus dependent, or not mucus dependent, but mucus related, I guess. And so sometimes when you have too much histamine, it can also produce too much cervical mucus, which may not be helpful, especially if you're having, let's say, 10 days of cervical mucus. You're not going to be able to fully nourish the sperm trapped inside of that mucus to be able to keep it fed until ovulation. So it might, it usually has a survival period of about 5 days in cervical mucus. So beyond that, it might not be helpful. Okay, so if histamine is excitatory, right? Histamine is an excitatory neurotransmitter. Then we can think of progesterone as the antidote, right? Progesterone stabilizes your mast cells and it upregulates that DAO enzyme that I was talking about, right? And so by upregulating DAO, progesterone can actually reduce histamine levels, right? So we're talking about all these different ways that histamine increases estrogen, but if we can reduce histamine by raising progesterone, then we can start to see a little bit more balance. And when I say that progesterone is the antidote to this excitatory neurotransmitter, we can also see that when you have sufficient progesterone, right? So kind of the opposite of those symptoms of low progesterone, right? When you have sufficient progesterone, you'll see that you'll be in a calmer mood. You might get better sleep. You have a longer luteal phase. And of course, higher chances of conceiving and maintaining a pregnancy. You'll overall just feel better in your luteal phase. I'll tell you that I'm, based on my cycle tracking, I'm supposed to start my period tomorrow. I wouldn't know that unless I was looking at my chart, because my progesterone levels are so normal that I don't have any of that PMS, pre-period spotting, or anxiety or an insomnia or anything like that. So something to look towards and say, okay, is my period coming? What are these signs that my body is telling me it's coming? Usually you shouldn't have that severe of signs that's telling you that your period is close. I think if we can look to the menstrual cycle as the vital sign and see, are your cycles regular? Are you ovulating robustly? Are you having good signs of estrogen production and progesterone production? You don't have any symptoms. If that's the case, then go ahead. I'm here to help you navigate that kind of the way of arriving at that point. Okay. So we talked a little bit about this, how to eliminate excess estrogen. So how do you know exactly what to be doing to get rid of it, right? I talked a lot about what are some of the reasons why the estrogen might be high. Now let's move into eliminating it, right? So we talked about the resources that your liver needs to be able to effectively detoxify. So replenishing nutrients is going to be one of the ways that you can take back control over your detox health, reducing toxin load and optimizing your elimination routes, right? Kind of going back to that conveyor belt analogy, making sure that things are moving through. We don't want to be causing any clogs in the area. You can address all of these things kind of concurrently. But if you had to make a choice of where to start first, right? If you only had so much time or so much energy, I would focus on optimizing your elimination routes first, because if you're all of a sudden processing things better in your liver, but then you're backed up in your gut, that's not going to be effective either. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so I would say starting with your gut health, I'll talk more specifically on ways that you can support your gut health. But starting with your gut health, I think is going to be the best place to start. And then supporting your overall nutrient status, reducing your overall toxin load over time can be helpful. So now when we're talking about optimizing your elimination routes, we want to be focusing on rebuilding gut health, sweating, and kind of paired with that, we want to make sure that we're hydrating with sufficient minerals and electrolytes as well. And then again, enhancing liver clearance. So those are all going to be ways that we are eliminating our toxins. Just to remind you of some of those things that are in that toxin load, right? All those things that are going into your toxin bucket. A lot of these things here on the screen, you'll see are going to be contributing to that overall load. Reducing your load, improving that processing plant, and making sure that you're eliminating is going to be the key way to make sure that what is intended for detox is actually getting detoxified. And one thing, just to tie this back a little bit earlier, is that a low histamine diet is not really a long-term solution. When we're talking about supporting, we're trying to reduce estrogen, we're trying to improve histamine intolerance. Yes, it can be helpful to reduce histamine containing foods or histamine triggering foods on a short-term basis for symptom management. I like to say that it's a band-aid solution that can temporarily reduce your symptoms of high histamine, but it doesn't address the root cause. When this is the case, we don't really want to be having too much estrogen coming into the body and then having too much histamine. We want to be able to take that histamine, eliminate it, take the estrogen, eliminate it, make sure that vicious cycle isn't perpetuating. If we look back at that slide that I had of that vicious cycle, that poor histamine breakdown in the gut is one of those things that's contributing, right? So for many people who are experiencing histamine intolerance, I've had several people message me saying that they were interested in this workshop because of what I was saying about its relation to histamine. I think that if we can address the gut and to say, how can I help support processed histamine foods better? How can I support my gut to be able to upregulate that DAO production, right? Maybe that means healing the gut lining so that you can actually keep that DAO on that brush border that your body's naturally going to be making, as long as it's not experiencing that inflammation in the gut. You can say, how can I calm my system to minimize its reactivity to foods? And then again, addressing that excess estrogen so that you're not continuing to make more histamine. For people who find that they do have that relief, that symptom relief from following a low histamine diet, by all means, Band-Aids are necessary sometimes. And so I don't want you to think that you shouldn't go on a low histamine diet ever. If you find that you're in a place where like you're working on eliminating excess estrogen, you're working on doing these other things, you're working on your gut health, but you still need that immediate symptom relief, by all means, if you need to, minimize histamine foods. Those are going to be foods like anything that's aged, really aged cheeses, leftover meats, fermented foods, cultured foods, canned foods, smoked meats, things like that are going to be generally having higher histamine levels, higher histamine content. Bone broth, unfortunately, is one of those things as well. But again, that's something that I would say focusing on some of these other things that are going to be more long-term wins is going to be less of a band-aid approach and really bringing you that kind of more long-term solution here.
All right, that is it for the recording. I hope that you found it interesting to hear a little bit about how estrogen is connected to histamine in your body. If you want to hear more about what I would do and my strategies for healing estrogen dominance and making it so that your body can be naturally lower histamine rather than having to always avoid all histamine foods, then I'd highly recommend checking out the Resilience from Estrogen Dominance workshop that this is a clip from. You can find the link in the show notes. And if you are interested in learning about how to use your diet as a way to support overall detoxification and healing your estrogen dominance from your diet as the medicine, diet is, again, not the only thing that is going to impact your overall hormones, but it is a huge part of the puzzle. So if you're interested in using your food as medicine in this regard, then I'd highly recommend you check out my Renew Spring Reset Meal Plan, because this is really implementing all of the strategies that I teach you in this workshop that have to do with food. You're going to find those in my meal plan. So head on over to my seasonal meal plan membership, go and download the Renew Meal Plan, and I hope you start healing and your histamine levels will soon be decreasing and that you're free from period pain and free from allergies and free from all of the negative side effects of having excess histamine. So thank you for listening and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for listening today. I really do appreciate you choosing to spend this time with me. If you gained value from today's episode, I'd love if you can act in reciprocity and share this episode with a friend. Screenshot your favorite part to share on your social media, tagging me at Anissa Woodall Nutrition, and leave a review in Apple Podcasts. This serves me to expand my reach of connecting with women who need this medicine. I'll see you on the next one.
I hope you already know, but for legal purposes, I need to share that this podcast is for general informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute the giving of medical advice. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast are at the user's own risk. Each user is responsible for making their own decisions when it comes to their reproductive health. Remember, you are always the sole authority over your health, and if your case requires medical attention, use your own discretion to ensure that your needs are met. Thank you for listening.